Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right, who's ready to learn some life hacks? I'll tell you where this message came from. How many, you know, you're scrolling through Facebook or something and they have those videos of hacks. They call them hacks, and the definition of a life hack or a hack, and if you make sure you know I'm saying H-A-C-K, it's defined as a tool or technique that makes some aspect of your life easier. A tool or a technique that makes some aspect of your life easier. And so we've seen videos, how many have seen the videos of life hacks where people, like, you've been doing something one way and all of a sudden somebody shows you a different way and you're like, wow, wow. I was at my brother's house the other day and I had just read an article that avocado slicing incidences are increasing visits to the ER. Isn't that wild? Because avocados are very popular right now. How many have heard about avocado toast and all that kind of stuff? So avocados are super popular, and people are eating avocados, and they're cutting their hands while they're cutting them, and they got to go to the ER, and it's increasing the number of visits to the ER because so many people don't know how to slice the avocado. So I'm at my brother's house the other day. How many have ever, like, be honest, you've almost cut your finger off slicing an avocado? Anybody? Just me? All right. And so I'm at my brother's house the other day, and I wanted to bring it, but I just got home last night. And he whips out this little tool, and it's an avocado slicer. And so it cuts the avocado, and then it has a little thing, and it takes the seed out, and then it has another little thing, all in one little tool. And you scrape it, and all the avocado comes out already sliced. I'm like, man, where did you find that? Where'd you find that? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you're trying to get the avocado seed out, it takes a lot of your avocado out. And right now, they're $3 for $5 at Publix, and you want every little bit of avocado you can get, right? And so it just, and then I saw on the Food Network where all those fancy chefs, they take the avocado, they hold it in their hand like this, and they take their sharp knife, and they go smack on the seed, and then they turn it, and it comes right up. Well, let me just warn you now, if you don't have a very sharp knife, don't try that. Because that could be dangerous. I speak from experience, right? And so anyway, I asked my brother, I'm like, where did you find this? This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I need one of these. He's like, oh, I got it on the Wish app. On the what? On the Wish app, which I don't know if you ever heard of the Wish app. I never even heard of the Wish app till Ben Whitty told me all about the Wish app. He was sporting around with some shoes that he paid like a dollar for. And I was like, you paid a dollar? They were super cheap. I'm like, how much did you pay for those? Those are pretty cool. He goes, yeah, I got them on the Wish app. I never heard of the Wish app. But you know what? It's a hack because it just makes things easier. Anything that makes your life easier, they call it a hack. You know, I've seen all kinds of things. I saw on the internet where somebody was using a dustpan to fill a bucket from a sink because the bucket wouldn't fit in the sink. You got to Google that one. And I was like, that's genius. Who thinks of this stuff, right? People that need their life to be just a little bit easier. And so we have life. How many are dealing with life, right? If you're my age, you're a little bit older, you've got parents that are hard heads and don't listen, right? It's like the world has changed, you know? We were the hard heads and didn't listen and giving our parents a hard time. Now they are the hard heads that don't listen, giving us a hard time, right? It's like we're getting back everything that we sowed. All you young people, keep that in mind, you know, just so, so good things. But, you know, the thing is that life happens and a lot of stuff happens. And how many have a life, right? The rest of you, you need to get one. So I got a little illustration for you, and because Chris Fong sits on the front row, I always get him to volunteer and help me. So, Chris, if you come up. So this is, believe it or not, this is a suitcase. How many remember these? This is a suitcase. I was asking around if anybody had an old suitcase, and Ben texts me, said, I've got some type of briefcase kind of thing. And then he brings it in, I'm like, Ben, that's a suitcase. He's like, oh, I don't know. But believe it or not, for generations, this is the suitcase that everybody used. Everybody used this. And so they would load all their stuff in here, and then they would have to, all you young people, get ready, carry it.
Hello.
Right? Right? And so Chris, so this suitcase here today, this is going to represent Chris's life.
Yeah.
So Chris, if you'd get your suitcase, we're just going to load you up with some stuff. So, you know, Chris is pretty healthy, but how many got health things going on? It's just, you know, stuff going on, health stuff. Here you go. Actually, when the video was playing, I heard somebody say, yeah, my job. How many got, you know, just your job, the boss, you know, it's just stuff. It's stuff. Here we go. How many got money things? You know, how many care about your money? All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. And then how many know just stuff happens, right? You know, this morning I got a text message and it said, Pastor Peggy, emergency, emergency. I'm like, okay, what now, right? What now? And so I look at the text and it says, there's no IC at Cumberland Farms. Let me tell you something, that was a little bit of an emergency this morning. So, you know, just the stuff that happens, right? And then I go to leave to drive here and my car's in the shop and I go to leave and Pastor Scott's really sick. He's not coming, so I'm like, oh, I'll just drive his car. I go out, he has a flat tire. So I'm like, okay, I'll drive my dad's Miata. I can't take the top down, you know. Hello, right? Can't take the top down. The AC doesn't work. And then I get a text message. Emergency, emergency. No IC. This is the life stuff, right? This is life stuff.
One more.
And then how many know this is your biggest bag? Family, spouse, your kids, your in-laws, or your outlaws, or whatever kind of laws you have, you know? We gonna close? I don't know. You got too much life going on, buddy.
It's Ben's briefcase.
It's. I can sit on it, but it may not survive. You know what I mean? We may have to take your health out. You're in pretty good health. You want to take your health out?
Yeah, we got one left.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Hey.
So now this is Chris's life, right? And every day he's got to deal with stuff just like you have to deal with stuff. And so if he's got to carry this around all the time. So if he's using this old school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how's that feel?
I'm going to leave it somewhere.
But see, the thing is, you can't leave it anywhere. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm born again, everything's going to be great. Listen, when you got born again, you still have to deal with money. You still have to deal with your in-laws. You still have to deal with your family. You still have to deal with everything,
yeah.
Right? But there's a hack to make parts of your life easier, right? There is a hack. Pastor Devon, will you get our hack? It's right inside the door there. This is like life with the Word. Look at this. Look at this. Watch this. Woo! Here we go. Now, let's see how much better it is if you got the Word with you. And I'm going to show you how to go from this to this. Because a lot of you guys are still carrying around this 500-year-old suitcase for your life. Do you know what's really amazing is that they didn't put wheels on suitcases until 30 years after we had been to the moon. You know why? Because nobody thought about it. And then after the person who was at the airport, and I got the story, I looked it up, the guy who was at the airport, he was looking and he saw all the baggage handlers putting all the luggage, the old type luggage, on carts with wheels. And he said to his wife, you know what luggage needs? Wheels. And so he put wheels on these old ones. And they worked better. But then there was an airline pilot and he decided that he was going to put good wheels on it. And,
hello.
Ta-da! So, Pastor Chris, come up here and let's just see how you're going to go through life now. Isn't that so much better? He even looks better. Look at him. Give I can leave that there. But, you know, I was laying in bed, actually, and the Lord gave me that illustration because I was thinking about how the Word just makes our life easier. Amen? The Word makes your life easier. And I was laying in my bed, and I was thinking about it, and I just got this picture of people carrying this old suitcase with no wheels, doesn't even have a padded handle. I mean, how lame is that? You know, it's got the wear and tear of life looking on it. And you know what? If you look into the mirror, this may remind you of you. Right? But that's not how it's supposed to be. There's an easier way to get through life. Because whether you have Jesus or not, you still have stuff you've got to go through. You still have day-to-day life that you have to live. You still have an annoying coworker. You still have the, you know, somebody was telling me they have a coworker and they all work in cubicles and they have two terrible habits. One, they clip their nails all day and they eat tuna salad sandwiches for lunch. And it stinks up the whole office. And, you know, that's okay maybe one day, but when you're talking Monday through Friday and they just keep doing it and you're like, but I have Jesus. But if you're just still trying to do it on your own and not using the skills that God has given us, not applying the Word to your life, not looking for God to help you, you're just carrying that big old suitcase through life. You still got all the same issues, but you are carrying it, and it's a heavy load to carry. But God says, listen, I can make things easier for you. You're still going to go through the same stuff. You're, you know, not probably as much, but you're still going to go through stuff, but I can make it a lot easier. And so we got to get a picture, because as I was laying in bed and the Lord showed me this illustration, I literally was just laying there with my eyes closed, and it's just the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost just showed me, and he showed me some faces, actually, just showed me some people that you're just all weighted down. You are so weighted down and just carrying and carrying and just really struggling to get through every day. And then I just saw where people just had a rolling suitcase. And actually, I got this suitcase for the last trip that I went on, because the time before I saw all these people at the airport and they're just, you know, pushing their suitcase and turning it and it's going straight. And I'm like, man, what kind of wheels are those? I got to get me one of those. And it made everything so much better. See, there's always improvement that can be made. And that's what the Word does. Amen. That's what the Word does. And so when we look up the definition of a life hack, it's just so good. It says, make some aspect of your life easier. Anybody want some aspect of your life easier? And the whole, like, going all the way back to where the Lord just gave me the idea for this message in the first place, I was sitting in my office, and I was chit-chatting with some people, and, you know, just talking about life and things like that, and they were talking about marriage, and just, you know, how many know marriage is tough sometimes? And they were talking about marriage, and I said, years ago, in a home builder's class, we used to have these home builder's classes, and we had these books. I said, years ago, Pastor Scott and I learned a really good skill. When stuff is happening and things, somebody's day's not going well or things are happening or whatever's going on, instead of trying to fix it, all you men, listen, instead of trying to always fix it, because men are fixers, we learned in this class that a good response, when you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, and instead of trying to think of something, trying to do something, which usually kind of makes it worse, right? We learned in this class that we took that a good thing is to just say, what do you need from me right now? Isn't that so good? Just one little sentence. When someone's going through a hard time or something's happening and you don't know what to do, just one little sentence that somebody said it in this class we were taking. And I'll tell you, that skill, that life hack, has served me well through the years. Because there's been many times where things are happening in someone's life, they don't want to hear how to fix it right then. They don't want to hear all the things that they need to do to get on the ball right then. There's a time for that, but it's not always that time. A lot of times, somebody just needs to hear, what do you need from me right now? You need me to just hold you? You need me to tell you everything's going to be okay? You need me to just sit here and be silent and be with you? What do you need from me right now? Do you need a large, unsweet iced tea from McDonald's with no extra ice and no lemon? What do you need from me right now? Right? A lot of times it's that. Because sometimes I remember a lady was going through a really difficult time and just health issues, and her spouse was in the hospital. It was just a mess. I mean, her life was a mess. And I was sitting with her, and I could tell that she was very, you know, just couldn't really, just so much was going on. There was so much going on in her life. And so I remembered that sentence, and I said to her, "What do you need from me right now? What do you need? Whatever it is, if I can do it, I'll do it." And she said, "You know, I know this sounds really silly, but I'm just really concerned about my dog." She said, "I'm almost embarrassed to even bring it up because there's just so many other things going on, but I'm really concerned about my dog." And I said, "Listen, I'll take care of that dog. You don't have to worry about that dog. I'll take care. You know I'm a dog lover. I'll take care of that dog." And it was almost like her whole countenance changed, because the enemy, with everything she had going on, just kept saying, "You're going to have to give your dog away. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that." With everything she had going on, it was just that one thing that she just was just pushing her over the edge. But that life hack that I learned, what do you need from me right now? Because I didn't even know she had a dog. And she said, "I'm just my dog." See, a lot of times people just need to know that you'll be there for them, whatever's going on, right? Especially in marriage. A lot of times, I know I've been married for 22 years, and sometimes when Scott says to me, "What do you need from me right now?" I just look at him and I just say, I don't need anything. I need a moment. I need time to just not have to discuss anything. I need to be quiet. I need to just sit down and watch, you know, House Hunters. You know, that's what I need. I just need to just chill out. But a lot of times you're like, "We got to fix it. We got to do it. We got to do it right now." But I learned in that class just a little life hack. And when I told the person that, I was like, you know, just that one skill. There's two skills that Scott and I use in our marriage all the time. And one is, "What do you need from me right now?" And the second one is the halt. Whenever you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you need to stop. That's not the time to have a conversation. It's not the time to get into in-depth talk about your future. It's the time to stop. Amen. Amen? A lot of times the reasons why things explode and get worse and worse, where something started here and next thing you know, it's all the way up here, is because somebody's really just tired. You know, little kids, when they're tired, what do? They cry. And they let you know. How many times have we ever looked at a little baby and they're just being cranky and just difficult? And what do we say? We're so sweet to them, like, "Aw, you need a nap." Where as adults, we don't cry and throw a fit, but we're cranky, we're irritable, we don't think straight, we're not in a right frame of mind, and what we really need to do is just go take a nap. And so that's helped us so much. Just halt. Amen. And so it's just these little things that can really help you. And so turn over to James. We're going to look at James, and we're going to look at some little things that are really big things. Everybody ready? Yeah. Today we're going to talk about stress and pressure. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, in the world that we live in today, I'll tell you what, it's not going to get any better. If you're waiting for it to get better, it's not. If you're like, "Oh, this is going to pass," it's not. Because the Bible says in the end times, the flesh is going to grow stronger. Darkness will get darker. We will not. We are still the light. Amen? And so yesterday, as I was driving home from Virginia and with my dad and his wife, Judy, we were driving home, and I was totally disconnected because I was seriously driving from the moment I woke up all the way to about 9 o'clock last night. So we pull in to drop my brother off, and my sister-in-law Donna comes out, and she says, "Isn't what happened so terrible?" And Mike and I look at her, and we're like, "What happened?" We don't even know what happened, because we haven't seen the news. We haven't been on Facebook, because we've been driving. And we haven't had the radio on. And we're like, "What happened?" And so Donna proceeds to tell us about what happened with the rally up in, it was Virginia, right? In Virginia. And we both just sat there and we're just like, oh, man. Listen, things like that are not going to get better. Unfortunately, they're probably, and I'm not a doom and gloomer, but because the enemy is doing everything he can to just distract and to steal, to kill and to destroy. That's why it's so important that we as believers and children of God know the truth. Know the truth. That we're all, racism to me makes no sense whatsoever. But that's easy for me to say. People look at me and say, well, that's easy for you to say. But when I look at people, I recognize that we're all made in the image and the likeness of God. We're all the same. We all come from the same place. We all come from, we all have the same blood running through our veins. Amen? Our skin may be different, our culture may be different, but our blood is all the same. And so to look at someone because of where they're from or the color of their skin or things like that, and to let it rile you to such an extent that you just are just an idiot is just so sad and ridiculous. And I would just encourage all of us, you know, you say, well, how can any of that change? It changes by people rising up and being the truth. And you can only do that with Jesus on the inside of you. Amen? Jesus died for all of us, not a select group of us. Amen? Because listen, once you start getting into the mindset of racism and things like that, you'll start out with just skin color, but before you know it, it's gonna include a whole lot more stuff. Amen? It's gonna include where you're from, how much money you have, what your education is, how you talk. You're gonna start devaluing people based on a lot more things. And however you devalue people, you are devaluing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Because he died for all of us. And so as we pulled up and she was telling us about that, and my heart just broke, and I'm just like, man, people are under such pressure that they put themselves under a lot of times. And they don't know how to deal with it. There are more babies being abandoned now than ever before. Because people don't know how to deal with pressure. Do you know that the generation that we are in right now is the most fatherless generation of all time combined? Combined. And it's not because of war. Before, the reason why there was so many fatherless people is because their fathers died in war. But it's not like that anymore. There are so many fathers who are sperm donors who are just not fathers. And it's a whole different lifestyle growing up when you say to your child that doesn't have a father, daddy loved you, daddy cared for you, daddy honored this country, and daddy died defending it. That's something to be proud of. It's a whole nother thing when your dad lives down the street and just doesn't want anything to do with you. That's a whole nother thing. We say, why are so many fathers abandoning they can't handle pressure? Why are so many moms abandoning their babies? They can't handle pressure. Life is filled with pressure. Your suitcase is going to be filled. You just need to choose which one you're going to carry. Amen? And so here in James chapter 1, it says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there and let me tell you who James is. James is a half-brother of Jesus. But here's something you may not know. Do you know that James did not get born again? He did not receive the truth until after the resurrection. After. He was one of the ones in Jesus' own hometown where they were like, isn't that Jesus? Just regular old Jesus? He didn't receive the truth of the gospel until after the resurrection. And he was Jesus' half-brother. And so I encourage you, if you're here today and you got family members who are not listening to you, family members who don't want to hear what you have to say, you're in good company because Jesus' half-brother didn't listen to him while he was on this earth. Amen? And so it says, this letter is from James, the slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written to Jewish Christians scattered among the nations. He says, greetings, verse number 2. Dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to us as believers. He says, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Isn't that a crazy verse? Another translation says, whenever pressure comes. Whenever pressure comes. Whenever pressure comes. How many know life has pressure to it? There's stuff that we've got to walk through. We got to carry on. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Verse number 4 says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. We have so many people that are running from pressure, even believers, you are running from pressure. You are running from that pile of bills at home. Listen, you can't just leave your bills in an envelope and not open them, right? That doesn't work. And then be like, oh, wow, the lights are off. Wow. Because that, you know what that is? That's immaturity. That's immaturity. When I got my first apartment, I remember I called my dad and I said, Dad, I'm standing in my living room. The front door's open. The refrigerator door's open. The AC's turned down to 70. And my dad said, call me when you get your first light bill. As soon as I got that first light bill, guess what? I was like, shut the door. What, did you grow up in a barn? What, are we cool in the whole neighborhood? And that way my dad would say, what, are we cool in the whole neighborhood? Right? What happened? We didn't run from the pressure. We grew through it. And when you grow through it, a level of wisdom comes, a level of character, a level of strength. Listen, whatever's going on in your life right now, you can handle it with Jesus. Amen? Don't run from it. Don't think, oh man, all I need is another family. All I need is another spouse. I need another job. Listen, you know, sometimes there is a time to leave a job, but it's when God releases you from that job. If you're going from job to job to job to job and you have all the same problems at all the jobs, listen, the problem is not the job. The problem is you. Right? And people do that with relationships. They're just one marriage after another, and they're like, man, I just can't seem to find a good guy. It's like, you have the same problems in every relationship you're in. The problem's not the guy, the problem's you. And so when we look here, James is telling us, he's like, listen, there's stuff that happens. He says, whenever trouble comes, or I think it's the message that says, whenever pressure comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. And that doesn't really make sense, but here's the definition of joy. I love this definition. It's Mark Hankin's definition. He says, joy is an outward expression of the enemy's defeat. Isn't that good? Because when we say, all right, trouble's coming, but I'm still going to choose joy. I'm going to choose to not fall under it, but to grow through it. When I choose that, when I choose joy, I'm saying this circumstance is not bigger than the one inside of me. Amen? This pressure is not bigger than the God in me. Let's keep reading here. He says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. And then verse number 5, here's where the wheels on your suitcase come in. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent you asking, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Christians who are poor should be glad, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should be glad, for God has humbled them. They will fade away like a flower in the field. The hot sun rises and dries up the grass like the flower withers, and its beauty fades away. So also wealthy people will fade away with all of their achievements. Verse number 12, listen. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. after they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Another translation says, is when we get through that pressure point, when we get through those, the King James Bible says, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that good? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so we have choices to make when it comes to our life. We can either continue to go through life with this old suitcase, carrying all the same stuff, never opening up the word, never praying, never asking God for wisdom. You know, God has wisdom for that job situation that you've got going on. God has wisdom on how to, you say, oh, you don't understand my boss. God knows every hair on your boss's head or lack thereof, and he knows how you should talk to them, how you should interact with them so that it will be easier for you. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, your burden, you've got him, but if you come to me, he said, I'll make it light. Because look, these two suitcases, they had the same things in them, right? They had the same amount of weight, the same amount of pressure, the same amount of life. But one, man, it was just dragging. It was difficult. Always looking for a pit stop to rest. But this one, let's go. Where are we going? Same amount, same stuff, but totally easier to carry when you got the word. Amen? God can teach you how to be married to your spouse. God can mold you and train you and help you to have the right response to whatever situation comes your way. God will, you know, I speak this over myself all the time. Lord, I thank you that you fill my mouth with the right words to say. Lord, I thank you that you put a guard on my mouth. Help me to be quiet when I need to be quiet. Help me to speak boldly when I need to speak boldly. But you know what? It's our choice. Because the Bible says here, James is telling us, he's like, listen, you've got a choice to make. Brothers and sisters, pressure is going to come. The King James Bible says diverse trials. Message says pressure. New King James or New Living Translation says trouble. They all mean the same thing. It's life. The car is going to break down. Might be a layoff. Your spouse is going to be cranky and a fight's going to explode. Life's going to happen. But we got to learn how to deal with life. Amen? We got to learn. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Quit trying to do it all in just what you know. Amen? He says, lean not in your own understanding. He says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Oh, that's so good. But how are we going to do that? We learn how to do that right there in verse number 2. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Let it be an opportunity for God's way to come through. Amen? Let it be an opportunity for the word of God to be applied. Let it be an opportunity for God's word to come out of your mouth. Let it be an opportunity to see God move. Man, God wants to move in your everyday life. He wants to move in the big things, and he wants to move in the small things, because he knows when you add them all up, it's your life. Amen? It's your life. And God wants to move in your life. But if we just keep carrying our own stuff, he can't move. Here's the thing about God that people do not understand. If you ask questions like, well, I'm not going to go there. We don't have time to go there. If people don't understand, just because some things are God's will doesn't mean they automatically happen. God works through his word. When people say, where was God in all of this? Where was God? The real question should be, where were you? Where were you? Were you like the prodigal son in that land? Or were you at home in the Father's house where you belonged? That's what we shouldn't be saying. Where was God? Where were you? Bad things happen. Bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen because the enemy is going about as a roaring lion, and he is seeking those whom he may devour. That's why bad things happen. But we can boldly say that James is telling us, listen, trouble's going to come, but let it be an opportunity for joy. Because if you'll let God work through that problem and quit running from it, if you'll let God work through it, you'll mature in it. And he says, and when you mature in it, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let me tell you something. There are people in this room today, there are issues from your childhood, from how you were raised, from whatever went on in your house that you have been running from and running from. And God is saying, if you'll let him work through it with you, you'll come out on the other side healthy, happy, and whole. But if you just keep running from it, keep running from it, it will never get better. It'll never get better. You'll never get to that place where you're not lacking. You're always going to be looking. James tells us what we need to hear here. He says, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Verse number 3, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. I was listening to on our vacation, we were listening to Mark Hankins. How many like Mark Hankins? He's just got a way of putting stuff. And so he was telling the story about how he has a pool at his house. And if you don't know who Mark Hankins is, he's a minister. He preaches on faith and joy all the time. He's great. I encourage you to sign up for his podcast. And so he was talking and he said he has a pool at his house. And he has a lot of grandkids. And he said the grandkids are not allowed to be by the pool unless they know how to swim. And so his daughter came and they had his little grandson, I forget his name. And so the dad, Mark Hankins, said to the daughter, you need to get him swimming lessons by a professional or I'll teach him how to swim. But he can't be by the pool if he can't swim. And so she said, I'll get a professional, right? And so she takes him to get swimming lessons, and he comes back, you know, a few weeks later. And so everybody's like, oh, the little boy can swim. He can swim. Everybody's excited that he can swim. And so Mark Hankins takes him out into the pool, and guess what he does? Puts him in the deep end. And then he has to jump in and save him. And he comes back in, and he says, this boy cannot swim. Because, listen to me, because if you can't swim in deep water, you can't swim. See, what happened is that he had only been learning how to swim in shallow water. So he could swim in shallow water. But boy, once the water got deep, he couldn't swim anymore. And that's what James is talking to us about here. He's like, listen, you got to use your faith in these little things. Because then it has a chance to grow so that when you need it for the big thing, you will have it. Amen? You'll have it. It was funny. My brother said something yesterday while we were I'm going to tell myself. We were at Crystal Burger. How many know what a Crystal Burger is, right? We don't have those down here. So we all went off our diet and said, well, we don't have Crystal Burger here, you know, where we live. So we're all there and we were talking about something. And my brother, just in conversation, my brother said, well, I got ready. He said, I prepared. So then when it happened, it was easy. And I said, what did you say? He said, he looked at me weird. He goes, I got ready. So then when it happened, it was easy. And I said, oh, man, that'd preach. That'd preach. That's what James is talking to us about. Quit running from pressure.
Amen.
Quit running from it like you don't know what to do and you don't have the answer and you're not strong enough to get through it. Quit running from every fight in your life. Because if you keep running from these little baby fights, when the doctor calls and says, listen, you got cancer, when he calls and says, listen, you got 3 months, when he calls and says, or the boss calls and says, listen, we're closing up, you don't have a job anymore. When the mortgage company calls, when all these calls start coming, these big calls, you're not going to be ready. Because when trouble came, you ran. When trouble comes, let it be an opportunity for joy. Because when your faith is tested, that means it's used. When your faith is used, it has an opportunity to grow. And I don't know about you, but in the world we live in, we need big faith. We need strong, developed faith. So that when we see things on the news, it doesn't shake us to our core. It stirs us to rise up and say, I am part of the body of Christ. And you may not have the answer, but I do. It is Jesus Christ. Amen? But what does James say we got to do? He says, listen, when that trouble comes, verse number 3, for when your faith is tested, or another word is used, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. The King James Bible says you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen? But what's the answer? All right, ready for your first life hack. Your first life hack is don't run from trouble. Get the wheels and go. Amen? Put your stuff in the wheelie bag and let's go. Quit running from trouble. Quit leaving that stuff in your childhood all hidden. You can handle it. With God, you can handle it. Amen? With God, you can handle it. Let's put our stuff in the wheelie bag and let's go where God has for us to go. And there's always going to be somebody way in the back carrying their stuff, you know? But, you know, we're going to get so strong, we'll be able to say, come on, we'll help you. But we can't put it in the bag for you. God can't do it for you. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to say, all right, from now on, every part of my life, my health, my money, my family, my job, my kids, every part of it is going to go through here. It's going to go through here. Because this is where my answer is. My answer is not through Google. Google's got the answer to everything, it seems like, but it doesn't have the answers that God has. Unless it's taking you to a Bible verse. Amen? And so when James is talking here, he says, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character. And then he says, listen, while you're growing, if you need wisdom, if you don't know what to do, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. And you know what? The answer to that question, the answer to wisdom is going to be found here. If you're here today and you're like, I don't feel like I'm very wise, you know what you need to do? Read a proverb every day. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And when you read it, you read, you know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Most months have 30 days, right? Hello? I don't think that's coincidence. Every day read a chapter in Proverbs. Tomorrow is the 14th, right? What should you read? Proverbs 14. You say, well, this doesn't even apply to me. Listen, it's getting you ready for deep water. Amen? Because let me tell you something. The times that we live in, deep water is here. You can't watch the news without being like, man, this is deep water. This is deep water. We got craziness in North Korea, right? I mean, that's just craziness. We've got a very uncertain political environment in the United States that, you know, we haven't had. It doesn't matter where you're at on that scale. One thing we can all agree on, our president needs prayer. If you love him or you hate him, you need to be praying for him. Amen. Amen? Because like it or lump it, he's who we got. And prayer can change things. Prayer can change things. But we got that going on. We have just the sanctity of life in the United States of America is at an all-time low. I read an article the other day that people found a trash bag and it was moving. So, of course, you think it's a dog inside because idiots do that. And it just makes you so mad. Somebody and a lady opened the garbage bag and you know what she said? It's a baby. It's a baby. You know what happened? A young mother couldn't handle the pressure. And she felt like the enemy lies to her and just says, well, just get it. If it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Just run from it. Now, fortunately, God intervened and people found that baby. And that baby's going to be okay. And I think it goes without saying that it'll be in a better home, better place. But how many know deep water's here? And if you can't swim here right now, man, you're going to be in trouble later. You got to let your faith grow. You got to develop it and grow it. How do you develop faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Turn your radio off and get some faith teaching. Turn it on in your car all the time. You need it. You need it. You say, well, I'm doing okay. See, a lot of times what we do is we wait till we get thrown in the deep water, and then we're like, oh, what's that healing verse again? I need it. It's going to be a whole lot easier if you're ready when it comes. Amen? And if it never comes to you, be ready for somebody else. Be ready for somebody else. But deep water's here. It's here. You need to ask yourself, how good a faith swimmer am I? How good a faith swimmer am I? God doesn't want you like Chris was, lugging that bag, so uncomfortable, not able to enjoy life. Listen, the next time pressure comes, next time trouble comes, you need to look it square in the eye and say, I'm ready for you. This is an opportunity for God to show himself strong. This is an opportunity for the word of God to come to pass in my life. This is an opportunity for the miracle working power of a living God to be shown in my life. This is not the end of me. This is the strength in me. Amen? Yeah. This is strength in me. Let's get our wheelie bag. Now, the reason I use that illustration, the Lord just downloaded it into me, is tomorrow, when you're going through life, I want you to just maybe put a reminder on your phone and ask yourself, do I got wheels on this? Do I got wheels on this? That's a good question, isn't it? Next time your spouse is on your last nerve, just, you know, it's the last one. You need to just take a step back and say, do I got wheels on this? When your boss is just being ridiculous, do I got wheels on this? You know what that means? Am I using the wisdom of God? Am I letting God work through me? Am I looking at this as an opportunity for God to show himself strong? Or am I carrying it on my own? Amen? So put a reminder in your phone to ask yourself tomorrow, am I carrying it or do I got wheels on this? Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone here that, Lord, just that today would be just a beginning. I know many people in here, they already have their wheelie bag, and that's awesome. But we would just continue to get stronger and stronger as our faith is used in our lives. As James says, that as our endurance grows, that we are strengthened. And it says we are perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lord, we don't want to lack wisdom. We don't want to lack ability. We don't want to lack peace. We don't want to lack provision. And you have all of that for us. And so, Father, I thank you that we stop running from trouble. We stop avoiding these issues and we deal with them with our faith. Instead of settling for a crappy marriage, the Lord, that we will begin to speak the word over our marriage. We will begin to ask you to help and mold us into the spouse that our spouse needs. The Lord, that we would not settle for living a life without provision, without finances, without the things we need. But Lord, we will use our faith for our job, for promotion, for sales, for benefits, for finances. Lord, I thank you that we will stop settling for a life with depression, that we will stop just medicating everything and start using our faith for everything, Lord. Oh, I just thank you that this is a moment where we decide to choose your way in everything. In everything. From the little things to the big things. Lord, that we can swim in shallow water, and we can swim in deep water. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that from today, that Lord, if you're here today, just by the unction of the Holy Spirit, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and no matter where you're at, no matter, maybe you've been born again for a long time, it doesn't matter. We all kind of get into a slack mode, don't we? We just start slacking off on things. But if you're here today, and you say, Pastor Peggy, I'm gonna get back into growing my faith. When I first got born again, boy, I read and I studied. When I was going through a big trial and problem, I read and I studied. I'm just going to make a commitment to get back to that, to study and to hear the word, because I need my faith to be strong. Man, if that's you and you're going to make a commitment to the Lord, just raise your hand. Not to me. You're raising it to the Lord to just say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to make a commitment to grow in the things of God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. Again, not to me, but this is a sign of declaration. I'm not going to just keep running from stuff. I'm not just going to be like, oh, I know enough. No, you don't, because deep water is coming. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for everyone who raised their hand. I raise my hand. That you would just help us. You would help us to continue to grow in faith. That our endurance will be strengthened. That we're not passing out after one little thing, but Lord, we can just keep going and going and going. Oh, thank you, Lord. You got big things for us. Big things require big faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody wants big things, but they want to keep their baby faith. It doesn't work like that. You want big things, you better grow up. You better grow that faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. If there's anyone here and you say, you know what, Peggy, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never given Jesus my whole heart and said, Lord, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that you do. If that's you, I think I know everybody in here, and we're all heading in the same direction. But just in case there's somebody here and you say, I don't know Jesus. I always say you got to start. Start with the King. Start with the King of Kings. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us that, Lord, tomorrow when a lot of people return to work and the big discussion is going to be all about what's happening in our nation, Lord, let our words be filled with grace. Let them be filled with love. And let them be filled with your wisdom. Lord, let people see in us that there's something different. There's something different. There's a knowing on the inside of us, and it is you. Oh, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, ain't God good? I'm excited about this series. We wanted to kick it off today, and what we're going to do is every week we're just going to have the word. The word on relationships. Man, it's tough to be married, isn't it? It's tough. I mean, be honest. Some people are like, oh, no, it's easy. What, have you been married a day? Come on. It's tough. It's tough to be married. You know, I was listening, and they said one of the top stressors in someone's life is getting married. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. But, you know, it's tough to be married. It's tough to get up every day and go to work and be responsible and be mature and pay your light bill. That's tough. It's not easy. We need the word. And so we're just going to take the word on relationships, on a lot about relationships, how to deal with conflict. Anybody ever had conflict with somebody? I mean, the rest of you guys just living in a bubble. You know, there's conflict in marriage. There's conflict with people. There's conflict on your job. You need to learn how to deal with conflict. Don't run from it. Amen. You can't keep running from it. You got to go through it. You got to deal with it, right? And so we're just got a lot of good life topics, just everyday life topics. Sometimes all we want to hear about is, you know, big things. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I live every day in the normal. And God wants you to use his word on the normal stuff and the big stuff, right? And so we're going to receive our offering in here. We say hero at BVC all the time.